42. And I'm going to read the first five verses. That's not correct. I'm going to read the entire song. And we'll focus our attention on the first five verses. Those that have found it, say, I've got it. If you don't have it, just look on the screen. They will be there in just a moment. Psalm 42. Listen. As a deer longs for flowing streams, so I long for you, God. I thirst for God, the living God. When can I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while all day long people say to me, where is your God? I remember this as I pour out my heart, how I walked with many leading the festive procession to the house of God with joyful and thankful shouts. Why, my soul, are you so dejected? Why are you in such turmoil? Put your hope in God, for I will still praise him, my Savior and my God. I'm deeply depressed. Therefore, I remember you from the land of Jordan and the peaks of Hermon, from Mount Mizar. Deep calls to deep in the roar of your waterfalls. All your breakers and your billows have swept over me. The Lord will send his faithful love by day. His song will be with me in the night. A prayer to the God of my life. I will say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why must I go about in sorrow because of the enemy's oppression? My adversaries taunt me as if crushing my bones, while all day long they say to me, where is your God? Why, my soul, are you so dejected? Why are you in such turmoil? Put your hope in God, for I will still praise him, my Savior and my God. I want to put a tag on this text and preach from the subject. I will still praise. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Father, we are so tremendously grateful for this moment that you have afforded to each of us. Father, I pray even now that you would allow us to be on one accord, that you'd speak to each of us, Father God, as it relates to our willingness to bless and praise your name. Father, many of us can identify with this psalmist. We have heavy hearts today. Father, it could be the absence of a loved one. Father, it could be the difficulty of a job situation. Father, it could be the conflict of an interpersonal relationship. Father, whatever it is, I pray that through this message and through your scripture, we would learn to be determined as it relates to our praise to you. Lord, have your way in this place today. In the name of Jesus, let everybody say amen. Praise God. I will still praise. Our message moment says this. We cannot allow unfavorable circumstances to hinder our praise. Let me try that one more time. That barn door just opened. I don't know what that is. Still don't know what that is. We cannot allow unfavorable circumstances to hinder our praise. Unfavorable circumstances. Our worship must withstand the difficulty of opposition if it is to be authentic and powerful. Let me say that one more time. Our praise, our worship must withstand difficulty and opposition if it is to be authentic and powerful. As we've journeyed through this series entitled True Worship, we have learned two essential principles as it relates to what worship is. Number one, we've learned that worship is honoring the Father based upon his love towards us as demonstrated in the death, burial, and resurrection of his Son, Jesus Christ. The second thing we've learned is that worship is a response to the revelation of God the Father through his word and his spirit. I want you to catch that. Two things: honoring the Father and a response to the revelation of the Father. So we package all that together. We discover that nowhere in those definitions does it mean if I feel like it, I'll do it. Y'all don't go to sleep. I'm just getting started. Nowhere in this biblical definition of worship does it say if everything falls into place, then I'll worship. As a matter of fact, this suggests that regardless of how you feel, Stephen Brown, the Lord is still worthy of the praise. But before you shout, let me help you understand something. The average believer struggles to praise God in a perpetual state despite the situations and circumstances that we find ourselves in. So if I experience loss or pain or opposition or doubt or separation, then I feel that I can actually withhold praise from God because somehow God is allowing this stuff to happen to me and I'm upset with God because I'm going through, so I'm going to hold back some praise from God. Say amen if you can. So there's going to always be a reason not to praise God. But that reason will never come close to the reasons that we have to praise the Lord. I think y'all missed. Let me say that one more time. There's going to always be something that we can manufacture as to why I should withhold my praise from the Lord. But that reason pales in comparison to the reasons that we have to praise the Lord. You think I'm making this up? In Acts chapter 16, Paul and Silas find themselves in jail. They are in prison. They are on lockdown. Listen, they don't understand or know what will be their next steps because why? They are in bondage. But in verse 25 of Acts chapter 16, we find these words about midnight. Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. I think you missed your shout. Paul and Silas were on lockdown as a result of being witnesses for God, even in the midst of their perceived that perhaps God didn't have their back. They were still praying and singing praises to the Lord. So that means, Stephen Brown, that the circumstances about you nor the emotions within you must ever or never hinder your worship of the Father. This is why we must declare, I will still praise. I want you to help me say that. Say, I will still praise. Now let's say it together. I will still praise. Whether I'm in prison or I'm in pain. Whether I'm in success or I'm in failure. Whether I'm experiencing happiness or I'm sad down to my bones. I will still praise. See, somebody in here needs to understand with me as I study this text that my best praise may come at my worst hour. Oh, I feel that by myself. Don't you know it's easy to praise God when the relationship is going good, when the money is in the bank, when everything seems to be in alignment? But is there a witness in the house that's had to stand next to a hospital bed
that's had to stand at the foot of a coffin and still raise your hands and declare, I will still praise. Oh, we praise when it's cute and convenient. But can we praise him when situation is jacked up? We praise him when the money is right. But can we praise him when they call in the house? I don't know about you, but it doesn't matter the circumstance. I'm feeling my help up in here. It don't matter if you shout with me. I'll shout by myself. I will still praise. Hey! So then, Psalm 42 and Psalm 43 have been suggested to be one psalm. Somewhere in the line of translation, they got divided into two psalms. This suggestion is based upon the recurring theme or verse located in both of these psalms. In Psalm 42 and 5, you find the verse, our motto verse for today. In Psalm 42 and 11, you find it repeated. In Psalm 43 and 5, you find it one more time. So it is suggested that perhaps this was one elongated psalm. And somewhere in the fullness of time, it was separated into two. Look at verse 5 of Psalm 42. Why, my soul, are you so dejected? Why are you in such turmoil? For I will still praise him, my Savior and my God. See, that's what I like about this psalmist. He helped Stephen Brown to understand the value of praise in the midst of being dejected, disappointed, and maybe even depressed. Let's look at the text, if you will. The structure of this psalm, this elongated psalm, goes from lament to hope. I want you to write that down. Goes from lament to hope. Lament is simply meaning a passionate expression of grief or sorrow. So he goes from this cycle of lament, grief, sadness, disappointment. But then he makes his way to hope, trusting God for the future, knowing that God is going to show up. He goes from lament. Things are not working out as I'd hoped them to. It's like the whole world is caving in on me. But then he comes and says, but I will still pray. Doesn't that seem like our lives? You know, regardless of where you are in life, you're going to find yourself with some moments of lament, some lamentations. Something bad or tragic happens. Somebody gets a bad diagnosis. But even in the midst of the lamentation, you got to press your way through, because you know that your God is able. You know that he can handle it. You know that he's a way maker. And so you press your way through the hope. See, my concern for us is we get stuck in moments of lament. And we don't press our way to moments of hope. So the psalmist, in his cycle of lament and hope, the first thing we discover is he longs. Get that down. He longs. He longs. Look at verses 1 and 2. As a deer longs for flowing streams, so I long for you, God. I thirst for God, the living God. When can I come and appear before God? He longs, but he is hindered. See, despite the circumstances that the reader that we're not made aware of, the psalmist has a specific longing in his heart. Get ready to write. He longs, first of all, to be in the presence of God. But not only in the presence of God, he longs to be with the people of God. And ultimately, he longs to be in the place where God's presence can be found, which is the temple. So he has a longing to be in the presence of God. This psalmist understands the value of being in the presence of God with the people of God in the place where God's presence can be found. He's longing. And even though we're not aware of what has isolated this psalmist from the temple of God, he could have been a refugee. He could have been exiled. It doesn't tell us what happened. But one thing we know for sure is he has a longing to get back to church. Oh, I feel that by myself. Let me preach a sermon inside of a sermon. If you've gone for a long time and your inner longing doesn't tell you it's time to get back, need a witness up in here. Something ain't right with that picture. Because watch this. Let me tell you something about worship. When you have experienced the presence of God within the context of a corporate worship experience, nothing else is a viable substitute. I need a witness up in here. But notice in the text, notice the intensity of his longing. Notice the intensity of his longing. He goes from just God. I long for you, God. But then he says, I thirst for, look at the intensity, the living God. But then it's getting even greater. He says, when can I come and appear, experience the face, the presence of God? There is an intensity that this psalmist has because he understands the value of authentic worship. We discovered during the drought that it's very likely that the writer of this song saw a female deer panting, struggling to quench her thirst. Now, you may have never really experienced thirst like this. Because you can just go to the hydrant and get your little fix on. But what the writer wants you to understand, spiritually speaking, that the only thing that could quench his thirst was the living water. And he longed to be in the presence and place of God with the people of God so badly that nothing else was a viable substitute. Child of God, we got to have a longing to be in the presence of God. But not only he longs, secondly, he cries. Get that down. He cries. He cries. I put next to that, while being ridiculed. Look at verse 3. He says, my tears have been my food day and night, while all day long people say to me, where is your God? So let me tell you something about folk. Folk gonna talk about you. Y'all help me preach this. They're gonna ridicule you. See, once they find out you are in fact a child of God, they're gonna wait and watch for something traumatic to happen in your life. And if God doesn't step in supernaturally, then they're going to get on the opposite side and say, where's your God now? You've been praising and shouting and your marriage fell like mine did. Where's your God now? Your loved one died like mine did. Where is your God now? So, Pastor, how do I respond to that? We'll get to that in just a moment. But we see in the text that he is unfulfilled. Because he is longing for the Lord. But what I like about him is obviously he let other folks know that he was a child of God. See, they could not have known his longing if they hadn't heard his testimony. Oh, y'all ain't gonna help me preach this. See, sometimes I think we talk too much, but other times I don't think we talk enough. Oh, I need a witness up in here. It's okay to let the world know when you're going through something as long as you circle back. I need a witness up in here. And you testify as to when the Lord shows up. So you let them know you go through like they go through. But you got a God that shows up. You let them know, yeah, I cry sometimes. Oh, but in the morning, joy cometh. Oh, can I get a witness in the house that can testify? Yeah, I go through, but as I go through, my God comes through. But in the text, he's crying. He is feeding upon his grief. See, I've discovered that grief is to be experienced. You can't avoid it, but it is never to be extended. So wherever you are, child of God, allow the Spirit of God to soothe those wounds. Hey, maybe you can't get out of it by yourself. That's what we have people to help you get through it for. Maybe you can't get out of it by yourself or in your own strength or with the help of the Lord. Maybe you need some supplemental support, and that's okay. In the church, we have to start talking about mental health and support. Sometimes you can't just shake that thing off. Can I get a witness up in here? Sometimes you can't just pull yourself up by your bootstraps. You need somebody to get up under you and no help. Ain't no real folk up in here this morning. See, I'd rather you get godly support than you manufacture your own support. And that's where we get all into chemical issues, because we're trying to come out of a grief that only God or some medical support can get us out of. Somebody say he longs. Somebody say he cries. But then here's where it gets good to me. We almost finished, y'all. He recalls. I'm getting ready to shout by myself. He recalls. Understand this, y'all. If your right now is too difficult, then you ought to look back. Oh, I feel that right there. That's some good preaching right there. I need somebody to run on that one. Listen, if your right now is just straight up jacked up, I mean, everywhere you look, is something wrong. Hot water heater broken. Spare tire on flat. Y'all ain't got no... Things just ain't going right. It would behoove you, child of God, to look back. Oh yeah, he showed up back then. And he showed up back then, so that gives me confidence that he can show up right now. Is there a witness in the house that's willing to look back through the many danger stars and snares? I have already come. It was grace that brought me saved thus far. Somebody say he recalls. Y'all sit down. I ain't started yet. What's wrong with y'all? Somebody say he recalls. Look at verse 4. He says, I remember this as I pour out my heart. How I walk with many, leading the festive procession to the house of God with joyful and thankful shouts. Now, Warren Wiersbe helps me with this. Warren Wiersbe suggested that it's possible this psalmist was a worship leader. And so he was accustomed to ushering people into the temple, giving praise to our God. But notice, he is still in exile. He is still isolated. And even as he reflected, he was still not where he wanted to be. What are you trying to say, Pastor Brown? Here it is. Our history with God will give us confidence for our future with God. That's a word for somebody. See, you don't look back long enough, Stephen Brown. You look at your right now. You look at your bank account. You look at your struggling marriage. You look at your wayward children. You're looking at right now. But the Lord has said, baby, why don't you just look back and see what I've done for you? And so we got this popular song that says, if he did it before, he can do it again. That's a good shout. That's a great shout. I like the song. But even greater than that If he did it before, he gets to choose how he'll do it again. Oh, I feel that by myself. See, I don't know about you, but I'm trusting, I'm believing, I'm asking God to do something in my life right now. But I've got too much sense to tell God how he ought to do it. I'm just making myself available based upon how he's done it in the past. Lord, you do it the way you want to do it, and it's going to be all right with me. So what is it that you need from the Lord? Help me, Holy Spirit. Is your recollection reminding you how God got you to school with no money? Your mind bringing back to you how your loved one was on their bed of affliction. And yet this past weekend they made a bad banana pudding. Come on, child of God, reflect, recall. See, the enemy wants you to forget. He wants you to think that this situation you're in is worse than anything you've ever faced and God can't handle it. I'm here to let you know he's a liar. But we have to allow him to do it in the way that he sees fit based upon his sovereignty. So we see he longs. We see he cries. We see he recalls. Look at this last one. This is where you're going to walk out of here praising God. Here it is. He challenges himself to praise despite his condition. Help me, Holy Spirit. He challenges himself to praise despite his condition. He challenges him. He talks to himself. You ain't crazy if you talk to yourself. I talk to myself all the time and I answer back. Got no witnesses up in here. If you ain't ashamed, raise your hand if you talk to yourself. Amen. Talk to myself all the time. Brown, you're going to be all right, but you hold on. God got your back, bro. You just keep standing and watch the Lord do what he's going to do. You just make yourself, yeah, you're right, make myself available. You're right, Steve. Yeah, that's right. You make yourself available. You're going to get through this. Lord wouldn't bring you this far to just anybody talks to themselves. So he is challenging himself in the text. Look at verse 5, our motto text. Why, my soul, are you so dejected? Why are you in such turmoil? And then he answers himself. Put your hope in God, for I will still praise him, my Savior. And I like the King James Version. King James says, why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall, there it is, yet. Ooh, I feel that by myself. Ain't no King James readers up in here. I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. My praise, thank you, Holy Spirit, is an act of surrender. Because I will. It is not predicated upon favorable circumstances, but it is predicated upon me trusting in who God is. I'm not trying to get deep. I'm trying to make it plain. If my praise was based upon how I felt, I would rarely praise. But because my praise is rooted and grounded into the power of God, I will still. Three things in this text, I promise, and we're finished. Here's the first thing. Your sadness
cannot hinder your praise. Your sadness cannot hinder your. You can praise God through your tears. You can praise God even when the situation is so bad that you're sad. Somebody needs to try that. Because as soon as you begin to feel bad, you quench your praise. And we begin to be sunken, sullen, sad. But not only your sadness can't hinder it, secondly, your pain can't hinder your praise. I'm giving you license. So you thought it could. I'm letting you know it can't. Your pain can't hinder your praise. Because in the text, the brother has gone through some painful situations. Yet, as an act of his will, a will that is submitted and surrendered to the Father, he makes a declaration and he praises God. That painful situation right now. It's been keeping you on the sidelines of praise. Coming to church is a routine. It's a check off the box. It's an obligatory appointment. Why? Because you've checked out because of your pain or your sadness. And you can identify with this psalmist. Things are just not going the way you'd hope for them to go. Even in this season of thanks, it's been hard for you to find something to give thanks for. But I'm here listening. You got to lift your head, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors, because the King of glory is preparing to come on up in this place. Watch this. See, what I've discovered when I praise God in my pain, it doesn't stop the pain from hurting. It just changes my focus. Oh, God, I like that. By myself. And the more I praise God, the more my focus begins to shift. Your sadness can't hinder your praise. Your pain can't hinder your praise. Thirdly and finally, your hope in God must empower your praise. He went from lamentations or lamenting to hope. My hope that God can handle this situation, which is my life. My hope that he can answer the prayer that I've been praying and praying and asking for. My hope that he is a deliverer. My hope that he can sustain my family in the midst of these trying times. My hope. See, the hope empowers you. It's so easy to lose hope. I don't want you to lose hope, child of God. As a matter of fact, I want you to get your hope back. Well, Pastor, what am I hoping God for? You're hoping for what he says in this text. He says, put your hope in God. Why? Because he is my Savior. He is my God. He's the one who has saved and delivered you in the past, and he will save and deliver you in the present, and he will save and deliver you in the future. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and a body is not crippled until his heart has ceased to praise. Louis Albert Banks tells of an elderly Christian man, a fine singer in his own right, who learned that he had cancer of the tongue and that surgery was required. In the hospital, after everything was ready for the operation, the man said to the doctor, "Are you sure? I will never sing again." The surgeon found it difficult to answer his question. He simply shook his head. No. The patient then asked if he could sit up for just a moment. I've had many good times singing the praises of God, he said. And now you tell me I can never sing again. He said, I have one song that will be my last. It'll be of gratitude and praise to God. There in the doctor's presence, the man began to sing softly. Oh, Lord, my God. When I in awesome wonder consider all thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, the power throughout the universe displayed. Listen, listen. Then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee. Can you sing it with me? How great thou art. Come on, saints of God. How great thou art. That's all right. Then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, come on, sing one more time. Then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee. How great thou art, say it with me now. How great thou art. How great thou art. Come on, y'all.
How great thou art.
Then sings my soul. Father, we've journeyed in this series, Lord, so that we could become true worshipers. Thank you, Father, for the reminder of why we ought to praise. It's not based upon the circumstances, Lord, but it's based upon who you are and your goodness. So, Father, we empty ourselves out. We empty ourselves out of everything that's not like you. And Father, we simply ask for a refilling, a refocusing, a redirecting of our energies to bless and praise your name. Father, we're not being naive. We know that the issues that we struggle with are still there. But what we will not do is we will not allow our situations, circumstances, external or internal, to hinder our praise to you. Father, help us to have the longing that this psalmist had to experience your presence with your people in your place. And Father, may we experience a similar longing when we have failed to assemble for a season. Father, we are so grateful for the reminder on today that I will still praise. We glorify you. We honor you. In the name of Jesus Christ, let the people of God say amen. One more hand of praise right where you are. Come on, come on, come on, come on.